some of us are so afraid of the hard things, though, that that's where we get stuck. We're so afraid that we're going to get into a situation that we can't handle. Right. And, you know, for me, that's a big part of what confidence is: taking courageous action, trusting yourself that whatever comes, you're going to be able to handle it, because we can't control all the external factors. We can't control everything around us. And for me, one of the things that gives me great confidence is knowing I don't have to have all the answers right now.
That's right.
I can trust myself that I'm going to be able to find a who that's going to be able to help me to answer a question if I don't have it. Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's exciting to be back and in the swing of things again.
It is. This is the first time I'm seeing you this year. And of course, you look fabulous as usual.
You too.
Hopefully it's a reflection of the quality time that you spent with your family during the holidays, because we both know how important it is to step away from all of this business stuff and take out time with your loved ones, and to also be able to center down and take care of yourself and put yourself first. So you look great, because I know you did it, because I was watching you.
Yeah, I tell you what, this season was full of family time and great adventures. My daughter had baby number three, so I got three grand boos now. They're doing great. And this last weekend, I just helped my daughter and her husband move them and their three babies into a brand new house. They just bought their first home. So we've been busy.
That's awesome. Many blessings. I am super excited. I remember when you told us that you were expecting your first grandchild, and now you're on grandchild number three. Girl, you done passed me.
Well, we love the grandbabies, and it just reminds us like why we're doing what we do in business. Is like every time there's a new addition to our family, our why gets bigger.
That's right.
Well, you're looking fabulous. The new year's treating you well.
Oh, girl, thank you. I had a chance to get away with some friends. Actually, I ended up taking two trips in December, one with my godmother to celebrate her 80th birthday. And then at the end of the month, I got away with one of my girlfriends to celebrate her sister's 50th. So we went to Napa Valley for the first time. And my kids, they know me so well. They gave me two spa treatments for Christmas that I had to use in Napa Valley.
Oh.
And I did. I did not know how much I needed that. And as well as it reminded me how well my son and daughter-in-law know me. Because if they would have given me money, I would have put it on the bill.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. They're like making you treat yourself. I love it.
Yes. Well, yes. Awesome. You know, last year was a hard year in real estate for me. So, you know, when I was wrapping the year up, I had to pause and assess what I needed to do different coming into this new year. Part of that was what my son and daughter-in-law, you know, ignited with that last trip, which I left like right after Christmas, is I got to take better care of myself.
Yeah.
You know, I got to take better care of myself. As you know, we kind of started this journey full time together back in 2020. As you know, we came in, I mean, guns blazing. I mean, we was just like buying up stuff left and right. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if we took a breath.
No.
I mean, it really was crazy how quickly things turned for us, and how quickly we were able to pick up the lessons that were placed before us, apply it, and be able to move forward and be, you know, what others would describe, and as what I would describe, I'm sure you would as well find some success in real estate investing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's kind of how I felt about it when I look back on it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you are an action taker and you jump in and you do the thing, and it was, you know, for me also, it was very much about how many, how much.
Yes.
And felt like this great sense of urgency to do the thing. And I think we both learned some really good lessons from that. A, about how we are capable of making stuff happen if we get it done. But also, as those projects came along, and some of them still coming along, that we also learned when we've taken on more than we want to have. It's like you, when you start doing stuff like that and then you realize what your life looks like, you learn better, so you do better, right?
Yes, yes. I totally agree, because I think it took me probably in year, okay, we started in 2020. So maybe around 2022 is when I started to realize, like, wait a minute, I'm doing too much. You know, I think part of it when I came in and I, you know, was under the teaching that I was under, and they had these numbers thrown out there. This is what you should do in order to be here. If you do this, you'll get that kind of thought process, and not fully applying it to me, you know, catering it to myself, my life, what I could handle and all those kind of things. So around 2022 was the first time I started to kind of hit a wall of exhaustion, of being overwhelmed, of like really looking back and saying, oh, if I had it to do again, I would do it different.
We learn what we want our life to look like and then can move forward from there.
So it definitely has been a journey. It definitely has, you know, been a journey. So, but I just want to kind of touch, you know, tap into, you know, how the end of the year was for me. I've made some serious decisions about myself and my business going forward. Hopefully we can touch on that a little bit today. And I'm excited about it. I'm actually excited to share it with you. So what's going on new with you?
Well, you know, we've spent the last 3 months in Kansas, and our home is Colorado. So we've been out here. We came out here because Nana and Papa's house is on the way to everywhere when you've got kids at home still. So we came out here right before we went to Italy. So I took my mastermind group to Italy at the end of October. And then we ended up coming back to Topeka, Kansas, and staying here because it was like, oh, Thanksgiving's around the corner. Oh, that baby's coming any day now. Now Christmas, now New Year's, now moving into a new house. And so, you know, over these past few months, though, I've taken some time to really think about what do I want my business to look like and what needs to change in order for us to have our family life look like we want it to. And so this year is a year of taking decisive action, and in a very intentional way, using the lessons that we've learned about what works for us and, you know, what doesn't work for us. And so the ability to shift now that we have some information under our belt.
Absolutely. I think being open and willing to what I, you know, my word pivot, you know, being open and ready to pivot is important. And I think applying that not only to your business, but to your personal life is important. That means you have to be open. You got to be, you know, you can't go through life or go through the journey with blinders on, but be willing to say, okay, be willing to change your mind, be willing to adjust. You know, always assessing where you are compared to where you want to be, self-analyzing. All of those things are things that, you know, that I know that you and I both do. And that kind of helps us to not hold ourselves hostage to this, to the decisions we made yesterday, but also allow us to make new decisions and be comfortable in it and not, and, you know, and not take ourselves out because what I planned to do yesterday didn't go the way I wanted to. But so I made a new plan. Some people have a very difficult time with shifting. You know, and I think that kind of ties, especially people who get caught up in, you know, what they call analysis paralysis.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to talk about that more today. I think the number one of the most common things that I hear from women entrepreneurs who reach out to me for advice is that they feel stuck. And they, and the words that they use is analysis paralysis. What you just said is they're like, I feel like I am just like still exploring my options, or I'm trying to make a decision, or I'm in the information gathering phase. And I feel like there's so many people that get stuck in the information gathering phase instead of assessing their options, making a decision, and then taking action.
Right. I think that's the key part. You know, they, like you said, they get stuck collecting data. And then, but they're not applying it. They're just continuing to collect it because they're looking for perfection, or they may even not realize that it's coming from a place of fear, There's a lot of reasons why people get, you know, get stuck in analysis paralysis. They may also be procrastinators, or it contributes to them being a procrastinator, because nine times out of 10, if they're doing that in their business life, they're also doing it in their personal life.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's one of the insidious forms of self-sabotage is procrastination, perfectionism, overanalyzing, analysis paralysis. We can call it a number of things, but the reality is that it all kind of falls under that category of self-sabotage if we're really honest about it.
That's true. That is true. You know, it is, I think it is self, you know, sabotage, because ultimately, because of what you call it, you end up at the same place, standing still like deer in headlights.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sometimes what it feels like, is that I don't know enough, or, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing what you're doing, because a lot of times they're comparing themselves to other people, and it's not realistic what you see, what you just see when you're witnessing other people's lives. Because when you look at me, you don't see the journey.
Right.
You just see how I feel today, but you don't see, you know, all that went into, you know, building what I've been trying to build in reference to my family, the sacrifices I've had to make, the moments when I, you know, when I had to kind of sit it on down for a second, regroup, and then jump back in. You don't see that when you're looking at other people's journey. So you got to be very careful that you're not, you know, seeing what you want to see. And then you're writing the story the way you think it is, as compared to how it actually is.
Yeah,
exactly. So you got to be okay with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I think so many of us, we want the fruit, we want the end result, but we don't necessarily take into account like the hard things that were along the way. Yeah. And I think some of us are so afraid of the hard things, though, that that's where we get stuck. We're so afraid that we're going to get into a situation that we can't handle.
Right.
And you know, for me, that's a big part of what confidence is just taking courageous action, trusting yourself that whatever comes, you're going to be able to handle it. And that's the thing, is like, it's trusting yourself, because we can't control all the external factors. We can't control everything around us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that gives me confidence is the idea that I always know that I don't have to have all the answers. And it goes back to that who, not how principle. I love that book. I call it out all the time, Who, Not How, by Dr. Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually call this out, that procrastination is a signal that you need a who, because most of us, our default is to ask, how am I going to get this done? And that leads to procrastination, because we're sitting there going, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And for me, one of the things that gives me great confidence is knowing I don't have to have all the answers right now.
That's right.
I can trust myself that I'm going to be able to find a who that's going to be able to help me to answer a question if I don't have it, the answer already. Right.
And you also, I think part of that, what contributes to that, is that you're confident in your abilities, in your own abilities. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to go and find the answers. I'm willing to ask for help. I'm willing to acknowledge that I don't know. So let me call whatever, or let me research whatever. And, you know, and I think that the reasons why people don't do that is because maybe it could be in the way they were brought up, or what society has imposed on them, or in their life, the fingerprints of those that had influence on them. They may do things that way. They may position themselves, I gotta show up this way. I can't let people know that I don't know. Whatever that conversation is that goes on in their head, you know, you can, you know, at some point, if you realize that you're living under that, or you've been living under that, then you have to decide, I want to make a change. Mm-hmm. I need to create something that's uniquely mine. I want to be okay with asking for help. I want to be okay with, I like what you're doing. Can you tell me how you did it? And not operate from a place of competition, because I think that's another part of it. You know, is people inadvertently compete with other people. Therefore, they can't ask the person that they're competing with for help, because you know you're competing with them, but they don't know. I mean, it's a whole cycle of of thinking that can hold you up from taking the steps that you, the baby steps, taking that first step of just saying, hey, acknowledging, I want to do this. How do I do this? you know, who can I call or whatever to begin the conversation. So I think when you're stuck in analysis, you're not having a conversation.
Right.
Other than with yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we can go round and round in circles with ourselves, can't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I decided to do going into this year, because I'm not really a person that makes like New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm not really that girl. I mean, I wish I was, but I am not. You know? But coming, excuse me, coming out of 2024 and going, and like I said, in December, I did some traveling. So it provided some time for me to really center down and think about, am I really happy with the way I'm living my life? You know, if I looked back over the 2024, would I want 2025 to look like 2024? Mm-hmm. And in thinking that and asking myself that question, my answer was no. You know, so I made the decision to, as you know, my son and I have a decent sized portfolio. We got about 22 properties. We did like 32 transactions since 2020. Ooh. Yeah, it's a lot. But I decided I'm not buying any more houses right now, not to add to my portfolio. I want to take this year and let me say this. And before the end of the year, I had 3 transactions on the table that I killed.
Like, wow.
I can't do it. Yeah. I can't do it in that same mindset I was doing it in before. So I contacted my wholesaler. I said, it's a no for all 3 right now. It's a no. I'm not taking these on myself or any of that. My son and I are not going to take it on. And that's the pattern that I was in before. I get a good deal, which I always run across good deal. God is in the blessing business. So I always have a good deal. But just because God brings you a deal does not necessarily mean he's telling you to say yes.
Mm.
It may not be my deal, maybe a deal for someone else, but and he brought it to me to give to someone else. So at the end of the year, I decided that, you know, that that my son and I are not going to be buying any properties this year. Going into this next year is all about stabilizing what we already have.
Yeah.
So, you know, so for me, it was like, it's not even, I need to take less action. You know, I need to take less action and then make sure that the actions I've taken in the past, that I'm nurturing them to continue to move forward without my hands on it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for you, it's not about, it's about, I'm going to quit starting so many new projects and just take care of what I already have. And I think that's a big message for so many of us that tends to be multi-passionate entrepreneurs doing multiple types of businesses or taking on one more deal. I just want to do one more thing. And it's hard to say no sometimes, but saying no to good things is what opens you up for great things in the future.
Yeah, I firmly believe that. I came home and I talked to my son about, hey, I think this is what we need to do. He was in agreement. So what I did with the 3 transactions is I know that there's some ladies and I'm in several groups.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some ladies out there who are struggling with finding deals or, you know, want some support as they move through the deal. So what I did with the 3 transactions is I put it out to the ladies. Hey, I got these 3 deals that I got them. I negotiated the pricing. And if you want to JV with me, I will support you in you doing the deal and I will be there as a support for you. So basically, I'm giving it to them, but I'm going to help them to do what I did, you know, in the same area. So I really felt like God was telling me, I'm giving you this so you can feed others.
Mm.
You know, you're full right now. I fed you. I've blessed you. You've opened your hands and your life to receive what I have for you. Now what I give to you is for you to give others.
Beautiful.
So that's the space I think this year, moving into this year, is about stabilizing what I already have. And then it's about blessing others, you know, as we move forward. But I also, you know, in me doing that will create a space for me to focus on my other businesses that I'm passionate about the podcast with you, mm-hmm. blessing other people through my coaching program and really being able to sit down with these ladies, some of them one-on-one. I just had a conversation with a young lady I was coaching with yesterday about procrastination, which is amazing because I was just telling her, and the conversation started out about real estate, but it ended up about the rest of her life. So it's about the whole woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the whole woman. And she's like, I needed this.
Yeah.
I needed somebody to kind of help me to, you know, shift how I look at things. And she was a person, or is a person, that it's like, it's got to be right before I make the first move. And I had to kind of challenge her on that thought process. Why? Who says it's right? You might be ready. It might not be right, but it's ready. You know, just because you cook a cake and you don't put the icing on it, don't mean it ain't a good cake.
Yeah.
I'll still eat it.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think that's really powerful. And sometimes when we make a decision, because what you're describing is a form of taking decisive action also. Yeah. Because a lot of us, we will sort of kind of decide something and then we'll sit on it and just make sure it feels right. And we'll kind of think about it some more and we'll say that it's a decision, but we didn't even actually take any action to execute on it. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when things start to go sideways, yeah. Right? Is when, because if you had stayed in those deals and carried on for even a week or two longer, and then you don't get the right person in the mix that can actually take over what you need them to, or do the thing that can blow a deal. Right. Cause then we get to the end and we just throw our hands up and say, well, I can't, because instead of handling business. And I think that's really the key. And that's what I admire so much about you, Brenda, is that you're someone who handles her business. And the way that you go about that is when you identify that something needs to shift, you don't just throw your hands up and say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore, I give up. You say, and now what?
Yeah.
It's like you identify what it is, make a decision, and then take action accordingly. And I think that's where there's a gap. And I think that comes from years of experience in life. And in business, but it's something that I feel like is a muscle that people, the good news is it's a muscle you can work out and you can get better at it. So I don't think anybody needs to listen and just say, well, Brenda's got it, I don't, or Andrea takes action and I'm just not wired that way. I have not always been wired that way. I don't know about you, but that was a muscle that I had to develop over time.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think a big part of it also for me, Andrea, is about faith and trust. Because if I find myself, you know, it's starting to feel heavy about things, or the direction is not as clear, I then think, you know, because of my relationship with Christ and how he's always kind of moved in my life, because he kind of be talking to me all kinds of ways. But, you know, when if I find myself at that place where it's starting to feel heavy and not as clear, that's telling me that God is trying to tell me something, you know, and so that's what I say in that moment. When I realize, I'm like, okay, God, what is it you want me to get from this? I often ask that question. Okay, God, what do you want me to get from this? Now I've lost money. I've had to fire contractors. I've had to, you know, things take longer than I expected, all the things. But even in that moment, you know, I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to get from this? And sometimes it's a matter of just slow down. Sometimes it's a matter of, I need you to go left instead of right. You know, so being open and ready and able to receive, depending on where you are and where your source of guidance comes from. For me, it's a personal relationship with, you know, my Lord and Savior. So, and he often speaks to me, like I said, sometimes any kind of way. I'm like, you got to say it like that. But he's like, yeah, that's the only way you're going to get it, is if I got to come in hard and rough with you, girl. So sometimes he says, sit it down, let somebody else do it. You know, I know you got a new dress and all, but you need to sit down, you know? And so I got to take heed to that. And I think that's what was going on, was that I saw this glimpse of, if I don't slow down, if I don't prepare myself to shift, if I don't accept what could possibly happen, I could lose it all in one decision or one transaction. It's just that simple. So for me, it was like, okay, God wanted me to see that. And I had to make some different decisions. And I had to stop buying houses, you know, because that can be addictive, especially if you find your groove and you find your pocket, it can become addictive. So I had to stop buying houses, and I had to, you know, take better care of myself and my relationships.
Yeah.
My relationships with my family, with myself, with my business, because that's a relationship too. That can be an unhealthy relationship too. So I had to, you know, kind of take a look at that. And so part of that, like you said, it's important for me to be decisive, but it's just, it's also important for me to know when to, you know, not take action, know when to say no, know yeah. when to pass it off, know when to seek advice, know when to, you know, just know when to know when to know when.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can really do it.
Yeah. You know, I think the way that you describe having an addiction to buying houses, I feel like I may have that when it comes to like starting new programs and like, oh, new, I want something new. And it's like shiny, it's kind of shiny object, yeah. but it's almost like, I want something new. I want something exciting. I love to start things. I need team members to help me and people to come alongside me to help me finish things sometimes. But I think like whenever it feels like things are not going exactly how I planned, instead of digging in and finishing, my brain wants to start a new thing. I don't know if anybody can relate to that who's listening to this today, but I get so excited by new ideas and new relationships with people, like new people come across my path and I'm like, ooh, we should do something you know, what's the, I love to see opportunities.
Right.
And I know that sometimes we need to be in a season of finishing what we started and making it better, like maximizing on current opportunities and current properties and current, you know, relationships and people that we're already working with or programs that we already have. And it's like, how can we instead take those and maximize on it and take them from good to great instead of feeling like we got to start from scratch and do something new. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it's very similar to like you just shared to what I'm saying. It's just, you know, and we have our reasons why we do what we do. Of course, that comes to play and to play here as well. Because as you know, my portfolio and my investment journey is also about community service.
Right.
And it's also about giving back. Right. So, you know, so then I feel guilty about, you know, not adding value, which then adds value to this underserved community that I'm investing in. But what God has showed me is that, okay, it's okay that you have the ideas. It's okay that, you know, when people bring the deals to you, again, I'm bringing it through you to give to someone else. That's okay. So that's why I'm always inviting other people to join the journey. I'm not walking around with a closed fist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so, good. But then I ask myself, okay, God, is this for me? Or what would you have me to do? You know, why is this happening the way that it's happened? I'm always asking that question to God. And then I'm waiting on his answer. You know, at the same time, I'm still able to do the things that I feel that he's assigned for me to do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we do things that's not our assignment. And you know, as soon as you go out the gate that I took this on personally, this was not assigned to me. You know, going out the gate that it's not your assignment. You're just addicted to saying yes. And then you have to come back and say, look, I'm sorry, but I said yes. And I have to come back to you and say, can you find somebody else?
Yeah. 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 And that's a growth. I think that's a growth thing too, is growing in your ability to say no. I love for my yes to be yes and my no to be no. Yeah. And I also recognize that sometimes I say yes when I should have said no.
Yeah.
And I think the key to that is as quickly as possible, if you recognize that you are going to have to shift, that you are in high communication and that you are looking for a solution. And I think that that's one of those things too, is like when you start working with someone and you thought they were going to be great and it doesn't work out the way you hoped that it would, or they're not showing up the way that they said that they would, whatever the case may be, is that we also are quick or have speed of execution in having hard conversations. When you know you need to shift, or when you know, you know, hey, I started working with this contractor and they're not doing what they said they would do, and now I have to have a hard conversation and I'm going to have to make a change, whatever that is that sometimes I think people who struggle with the analysis paralysis thing will also struggle in taking decisive action when something needs to shift that is going in a different direction than it needs to. And so it's, again, it's that muscle, and it doesn't just happen on big business decisions. It happens in the daily taking action and being willing to lean in when something gets hard, and we don't shrink back and hide or pull the cover over our heads, but we show up and we take responsibility and accountability and ownership where we need to and say, now what?
Right.
I
totally agree with that. Cause you know, one of the things that I always tell myself, and I'll tell, like when I'm coaching, I'll tell my students, you know, a contractor is good until they're not. And then I heard myself say that one day, and I'm like, you know what? That kind of applies across the board. A friend is a friend until they're not. You know, a husband's a husband until he's not. A wife is a wife until they're not. So people, you know, well, in their intentions, it's to show up a certain way. But then when you recognize that they're not showing up like they had initially planned or what they agreed to or whatever the case may be, you're not being mean by acknowledging that, sharing it with them. If they're unable to pivot, then you have to let them go. But we get to this point where I hired him. So I'm going to, you know, and people are looking at me, you know, so I'm going to keep working with this person who was not showing up on time and not give me quality work, you know, and I think the reasons why some people who suffer with analysis paralysis stay in there is because they're non-confrontational and they don't want to have the tough conversation, or they don't know how. In some cases, too, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, you're fired, get out of here. It could be a matter of, let me share with you my concerns. I'm gonna need you to address them within this time frame. If not, I'm thinking we're gonna have to pivot. I'm thinking we're no longer a good fit. And you can find keywords and key, you know, sentences that you can use and share with people that gets the point across, but it's not a slap in the face.
Yeah. And I think vulnerability is leadership also, you know, and I'm going to borrow that from Brené Brown in her book, Dare to Lead. She talks about vulnerability is leadership and being willing to say, hey, I know that I am figuring this out as I go, but here's what I know for sure. This isn't working for me. And I want us to figure out a healthy conclusion, or here's what I need from you. And if this happens, we can move forward. If it doesn't happen, here's what's going to happen on my end. And just being clear. But I think being real with people, so many times we try to sugarcoat, or we try to protect other people's feelings. And as if that is our job, to protect other people's feelings in all situations. And I think it's a habit that we get into, but it is not something that serves us well in business or in our personal lives.
Yeah, because what you end up doing, what some people end up doing, if that's their first thought, is to protect someone else's feelings, they're sacrificing themselves.
Absolutely.
And they're also sending the message that, you know, I'm not that important.
Right.
And you got to be very careful with the message that you send people, because the message they get from you, because you're sending it to them, is how they're going to treat you. So, you know, so you definitely want to be a person, you know, going back to being decisive, you definitely want to be decisive, not only about the projects that you do and what you're putting out, but also what you're doing yourself, you know, what you're projecting and how you're handling your own life and how you're making your own decisions and how you show up. You know, people like somebody who's in a position to at least give them an idea of what they need to do. Even if it's something like, well, today I'm believing we need to do this, but I'm going to do a little bit more research just in case that, you know, there's other options out there. You know, people, you can say that out loud. You can say that this is what I have today, but I am still, you know, I'm still doing my due diligence. That way it prepares that if you find something else out, it kind of prepares you to come back and introduce a different path or a slight pivot, and they're not going to hold you hostage, because a lot of times you feel like you held hostage to what you said. They're not going to hold you hostage to one particular way or one particular decisions, because you've also expressed that I am still looking for other options while we move forward with this one.
So
I think that's important, because a lot of times we do it to ourselves. You know, we put these unrealistic expectations on ourselves. And then you inadvertently pass that on to other people. And then next thing you know, you're still sitting there thinking about, well, how am I going, what am I going to do next? And it's 2 months later.
Right. Yeah. You know, this idea of taking decisive action, making a decision, and then doing something to move forward with it it's something that's been really top of mind for me this year, because, you know, I've got, I added another team member at the end of this last year. I changed up a team member and I feel really good about the decisions. And so now I've got, you know, some fresh, you know, some new people on my team that we're learning how to work best together. And I am learning that one of the most important things that I can be as a leader is decisive.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not decisive, it holds everybody on my team up. They're waiting to hear which direction to go. And I need for my people to be super productive. And just imagine, like, and I'm talking about in my coaching business, but if you imagine, like, if you've got, you know, if you've got five team members on a job site waiting for you to make a decision, and what are they doing? What are they sweeping floors, waiting for you to decide where you want the wall? Like, you've got to be decisive and give them direction, or you're wasting their time. And usually you're paying for it. You're paying for that waste of time.
That's right.
But the other part of it is opportunity cost. You know, and I think back to when I first started both, and I'll give two examples. When I first started in real estate, while a lot of people around me were in that mode of analysis paralysis, and they were doing the research and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, I got 10 deals under contract in 6 months. And that, I mean, and I was like in full on action taking mode, doing the thing. Like, I decided what to do and I figured out a path that worked for me. I got in my groove and I did the thing. I learned a lot from that. But when I looked around me, there were a lot of people that were struggling to even make a decision on what kind of thing they wanted to do to get started, you know, and they were still learning or thinking about it. And, you know, and they're, I know that everybody has different styles, but then all of those people started saying, hey, how did you do that?
Yeah.
And one of the most important things was I made a decision and then I started taking action every single day towards that decision. And instead of just thinking about it or doing more research about it, I picked up the phone and I started making calls and I started talking to people and I said, who else do I need to talk to get this thing done? Mm-hmm. Right. And that, you know, and part of that story is I was able to quit my day job just 9 weeks after I started, because I had $400,000 in equity and estimated profit from flips that were going to happen. And so what happens when you take decisive action and you do the thing is that you also are able to, as an entrepreneur, you get to be in control of how much money you are going to make. And if you sit around and think about it, that's called opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had waited 6 months to get started and just did one deal at a time, you know, one deal here, one deal there, like I could have done 10 deals over the course of 10 years, or I could do 10 deals over the course of 6 months.
Yeah.
And the opportunity cost is about, you know, $350,000 a year is what that costs you. Mm-hmm. If you're spreading it out that way. The same thing in my coaching business is, you know, when I decided that I was going to launch Bold Mastermind, my coaching business, in my first 6 months, from the day I decided to launch to 6 months later, I made $300,000.
Awesome.
If I had been thinking about it and planning it and, you know, trying to get everything perfect, in that my natural is perfectionism. If I had stayed in perfectionism or procrastination or think about it mode, that would have been a $300,000 6 month period of time that had cost me that year. Right.
And you wouldn't have blessed as many people as you blessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What goes along with that goes along with you taking action is that you are changing other people's lives that's going through your coaching program. I went through your coaching program and I have to say you're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I have to say that you are amazing. But if you had not have taken the action at the time that you took the action, then I may not be a coach right now as a result of that. So when you start to think about it from that perspective, then, you know, it helps to kind of align things, you know, for you and even going forward. So it's important that, you know, that we take the time And first of all, and also, I think it also, in us talking about this, I think it also comes back to fear.
Right.
Fear of failure, fear of, you know, of whatever, not doing it right, whatever the case, whatever that fearful thing is that people deal with is, you know, the one thing I think that you and I have in common is that I am willing to take the action and then accept responsibility for whatever happens, the win or the loss. I am willing to own it with pride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And figure out the lesson from it. If it doesn't go exactly the way I thought it was going to go, I've given myself room to learn from it, not mm-hmm. call it a failure, but I call it a bump in the road and move on.
Yeah.
So I think that's good too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And I think, you know, you and I both, we can look back over, cause you've done, what'd you say? 32 transactions in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've done, you know, 17 deals. Some of those had transactions on both sides, but I think we can both agree, like, they didn't all go well. They did not. Wow. Like, there were things I would look at it and say, that was a failure, lesson learned, like /, you know, mm-hmm. but like literally, like, if from the time I started that project to the way that it ended, if I had known when I started how that project would end, I would not have done that deal. Mm. And I'm still doing deals and I keep going mm-hmm. because I know that I can trust myself to handle when things don't go as planned. Right, and right. I can trust myself that if it all falls apart, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to come back even better and stronger because I learned some lessons from it. And we pivot and we trust ourselves to identify what the next thing is that is going to make up for the things that were failures or break evens or whatever it is along the way. And we don't quit. And that's the big thing is
that's
that
not
we
an option. Yeah. No, that's yeah. not. And just because you change your exit strategy and you have something that you bought that you're going to hold and you decide to sell it, it's not quitting.
Right.
You know, it's pivoting. It's being able to, you know, analyze your exit strategy and give yourself permission to change your mind because the circumstances have changed and you're open to that. I mean, I'm in the middle of one of the largest transactions that I've had, and it was a house hack. Yeah. And at the end of the year, you know, things happened. The contractors were terrible. I had issues with inspections. I had a broker that I don't know what he was doing, but by the time I kind of sorted it all out, the broker hadn't did what he was supposed to do, which was get me an extension. And my house was going to go to foreclosure. I didn't even know.
Oh,
I had made all the payments,
yeah.
But I'd gotten to the end of my loan and I, you know, had requested that he would apply for an extension for me, which he had said he was doing. Then we went beyond the maturity date. Unbeknownst to me, as I was still making payments, they were like, but your loan is expired. So it doesn't matter. So they stopped taking my payments because I no longer had a loan. I had no idea that this it was the largest project I had. It was the house. It was a house hack, which means I am not living. I'm living in my son's guest room right now.
Yeah.
So this happened and I had to act quick. And I'm thankful to God that I am a person that is able to pivot. You know, I began to, you know, I'm very transparent. I'm not holding anything, you know, to myself at all. I'm very transparent. I went out, I came up, God gave me, you know, some ideas. I refinanced one of the transactions. I jumped into one of the second lien, the first lien, which is the one that was trying to foreclose on the property. I started communicating with them, explained to them what had happened. They gave me, you know, one solution, which we were able to do, which was to pay, you know, whatever this fee was they wanted us to pay. We paid that. Uh-huh. And now, you know, but I sat down and I'm looking back at this situation and I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to get from this? You know, that question, what do you want me to mm-hmm. get from this? I started this house out with contractors that I knew very early on I didn't like the way they were doing things. But I let it ride. Why? Because all of my attention was over here. Mm-hmm. Oh, they'll get it right. They'll fix it or whatever. So, and there were just signs everywhere. So I think it took that, and this is how God moves in my life. It took that action and it coming to a head for me to wake up and realize you need to fire all these people.
Wow.
And I need you to focus on this and I need you to get it done. Now, it was never a thought in my mind that I wasn't going to get it done. There was never a thought in my mind that I wasn't going to get it done. what I had to take my time with is how am I going to get it done? So I had to take actions. I had to own, you know, where I was. I had to accept where I was. And I had to take action in reference to now being able to pivot. I'm also still reassuring my lenders that, look, I'll take an L before you will. So I got you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's also, like I said, so for me, it was like, that was a turning point for me. That's when I realized mm-hmm. you have got to slow down. You've got to slow down. And now I'm in a situation where the lenders is working on giving me a 12-month extension, which I probably won't take. But then I also have my other lender in the background that's looking at giving me another loan. It's going to be more conducive to us holding the property. Yeah. I also stepped away from House Hack and decided to consider pad split, which it would be a moneymaker if I went that route. So I got all these other things that's coming my way. But if I didn't ask that question, if I didn't pause, if I didn't stop and start assessing what was going on, then I would not be open to I have options.
Right.
No, I have choices. So you have to pay attention to what you're doing. You have to be open to changing and pivoting. You have to be okay and give yourself permission to change your mind as well as to rest.
Mm.
You know, all those things. So these are things that, but I'm still, you know, I'm still doing all the other things, but I'm also, I feel now today like I'm taking better care of myself.
Yeah.
You know, and that is important that you take better care of yourself, because what people see, and because we have done, and you're in the same boat, because we have done as much as we have done and we've supported other people and they've supported us along the way, there are a lot of people that they're seeing the shell. They're seeing what you present each time you present yourself. And they're not, if you don't share and be transparent with them about what the journey is really like, they're going to think that what they see today with you, with your beautiful flowing hair and makeup, you know, they're going to think that it's all peaches and cream. Right. But you're just as transparent as I am. And I love that about you. You know, so that, and I think that's probably what has drawn us to each other, is because we see something about ourselves and each other.
Yeah.
So it's important to be, you know, honest, transparent with people at the same time, let your journey encourage others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's my little two cents, girl.
I love it. No, I love it. This is such a great conversation today. And I appreciate you being real. I think real knows real. And that's when so many people share with me that that's what they appreciate about the podcast is we just real talk and we talk about what's going on and we don't try to sugarcoat things. But it's also like, I believe in being real and being real encouraging. And so it's like we don't commiserate. We say that sucked. Now what are we going to do about it? And we don't stay stuck or wallowing in the, man, that was hard. And we're just going to be sad about it for a while. Like it's just, you learn from it and you move forward and you figure out now what, and you do the thing. And that's
but the now what is an action. The now what is a call to action.
Right.
Because now you got to think, you got to have an answer to that question.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to ask yourself that. Now what? You know, even when I went through my divorce some years ago, and, you know, and I realized like, okay, this is, you know, I'm getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I asked myself, well, what do you want? You know, that's my version of now what? And I didn't have an answer to that question. And I told myself I will never be at that place again where I don't know what I want. You know, and I think a big part of that is coming from a place of always caring for other people. I never even asked myself, well, Brenda, what do you want? Mm-hmm. So now I ask myself, what do you want, girl? What you want to do? You know, you want to let this thing go, or you want to figure it out? You know, you want to pivot? You know, what do you want to do? You know, ask other people, get around like-minded people, have that conversation. People who are willing to be open and honest and not make you believe that everything's peaches and cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that call to action. Get yourself around like-minded people who make you feel comfortable enough to be vulnerable, to be open, so that it clears your mind and your space so you can elevate emotionally and mentally. Get yourself around like-minded people.
Mm.
That will help you to open up, elevate, and make decisions in a comfortable and safe environment where failure is not an option.
Mm. Yeah. And I want to encourage our listeners, like, I feel like that's a take bold action challenge right there. So getting around like-minded people, how do we do that? How do we find our people?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think it's important that you tap into some groups that have a similar interest. You know, I know for us, you and I are in a mastermind together, which has truly been a blessing and has really contributed to any success that you ladies have witnessed in my life and my journey in real estate investing is as a result of the mastermind group that I was a part of with Andrea and being around people who encouraged me when I was in bawling out. You know, it gave me a place to go to cry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, once I cried for a little bit, then it's like, then the conversation went to, these are some options for you, girl, you know, but you know, you got to tap into, you know, to local groups, even your support system, your friends that might, you know, also share your interest in whatever it is that you're doing. Right now, we're talking about real estate and coaching, but whatever your interest is, get in groups that have women or people in there that's doing the same things that you're trying to do. You know, connect with other people. You got to have conversations. You got to step outside of that little private space that you have, that little circle, and connect with other people. Have conversations, network, you know, just whatever, you know, whatever it takes. Don't be afraid to say something to the person standing next to you. You never know. This person could have an answer to a prayer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you have to be the one who asks, be the one who invites. Mm-hmm. There's so many people around us and you know, and I think we think sometimes that people that are doing things are like, oh, they're too busy for me. And that is definitely true for some people that, you know, that you reach out to, and don't take it personal if somebody doesn't respond right away or something like that, but be the one who invites, be the one who shows up. You know, if somebody wants to get close to me, like one of the things I tell them is like, come to my next workshop and turn on your camera and be encouraging to other people. Because Brenda, you know that when I see people on camera, like on a Zoom meeting with me, and they're like lighting up and engaging, I'm like, I want to be friends with her. Like that's who I want in my circle. Yeah. Right. And that's how other people feel too. It's like when you turn on your camera and you show up and you just do the next thing and you're encouraging to others, that is magnetic magic for other people who are looking for someone to do this thing.
Drawn to you.
Yes.
Yeah. I think a key word that you just said is show up.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, whatever room you're in, whatever relationship you're in, friendship you're in, it's important that you show up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this is a great conversation, Brenda. As always, I'm so excited to be back in the swing of the podcast with you. We're going to have a great season 2 together, and I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you too. And thank you for, you know, inviting me to be a part of this. Every time, you know, I went back over the weekend and watched all of our past podcasts, and I was like, I was having so much fun just watching us laugh and have a good time and just share. I learned so much from you and listening to you and hearing about your journey. And I hope that I can be that for other people, that what you are to me. So
thank you so much. And likewise. All right, sisters. Well, if you want to gain more clarity in your life and your business, I want to invite you to join me for a free workshop for women entrepreneurs on how to build your personal clarity, confidence, and connections so that you can increase your income, live your best life, and inspire others to do the same. And you can register for that for free at AndreaEngstrom.com. Now, if something on the show with me and Brenda today resonated with you, would you just let us know? Give us a review on the podcast. Share this with others. If you know a sister that needs to hear something we shared today, please share it with her. Yeah. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, you can join my free Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood. Now, thank you again, Brenda Stroud. Great conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I love being here and love sharing with you ladies.
Awesome. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.